Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello. Good Friday. Welcome to Bridges to Business Radio Show. I'm Ann Revel Petcher, your host. And today I have in the studio with me Mark Anthony Mueller of Limitless Portfolios Asset Management. Hello, Mark Anthony.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm working past 2 o'clock on a Friday in the South. So
yeah,
this is
you
kind
know,
of odd for me.
And I see it's a Red Bull you got next to you. That's probably not where I'd be heading right about now, but give me a few minutes. Maybe I'll need that one. And Mr. Jay Shiver. Everybody knows Jay.
I don't know about that, but
well,
I'm here.
Jay's a man about town here, and he's here to talk to us today about Legacy Consulting Group.
That's right.
Talk to me about that. What is Legacy Consulting Group, Jay?
Legacy Consulting Group is a national insurance and financial planning practice. Really, we're an agency, but we're virtual in nature. We've got locations nationally, and we work with boutique level financial advisors and insurance agents. We provide them resources and tools that that they've not been used to receiving in their course of business. So it's a unique concept.
It is unique. So insurance and financial planners.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So why the two together?
Well, you'll find that there are many financial advisors and planners out there that still offer insurance-based products in one way, shape, or form. So it could be life insurance. It could be annuities. It could be long-term care insurance, disability. It depends on the clients that they're working with. But just because somebody is a financial advisor or planner or representative doesn't mean that they strictly focus on market products.
I see. And the kinds of services you offer to these folks include what?
So we, as an agency or a financial planning group, we basically provide marketing, advertising opportunities, leads, different things that those advisors have had to go out and seek on their own. But we also are specializing in succession planning. So if you start a financial planning practice or an insurance agency, eventually you're going to sell it. You're gonna exit out of that business
sure.
in some manner. So we're linking them up with various resources for that. And we're also connecting them with companies such as Mark's, my fellow guest here, to help them with the normal aspects of their business on the money management side.
Cool. All yeah. right. So we're going to learn more about that in a minute, but let's go ahead and come over here and talk to Mark Anthony for a minute. So tell me a little bit about Limitless Portfolios.
Limitless Portfolios was started. I had been in the industry for a while, and I have consulted with several investment advisory firms and some of the bigger banks. I won't name any names, but you know, some of the product pushing investment advisory
yeah.
firms. I've never been classically trained to sell. I just grew up more in the actual asset management selection, the portfolio management, and looking in the best interest of the clients first instead of the sales pitch first. So after vetting several other financial advisors and looking for partnerships, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and start my own firm. And it was about a year-long process, and I was able to get the firm set up with a mission statement to just help good people maintain and plan for plan for their retirement.
Interesting. So it's really your focus really primarily is for retirement planning.
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons that I approached Jay is because my belief is that the people sitting in front of you that you're paying for specific advice should be an expert in that field. And I believe there's been a convoluted growth in the industry of people who you sit in front of somebody that gives you a call and says, hey, I got your name from somebody on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And you get called for coffee and you sit down with them and next thing you know, they're asking you for five names and they're asking you for all this information when really they should just be asking to get to know you. And that's
sure.
a key sign that they're trying to sell a product or trying to push a particular product that their company sells, be it one side or the other. If you're working for one of these big as Jay calls them, what do you call them there, Jay?
The capture agencies? The captive firms.
The captive firms. Mm-hmm. The person you're sitting across is not an expert in their field. They're basically a trans sales rep that has learned a little bit about the industry. So I started the firm with the belief that I want to bring on advisors who are out there who actually believe not in cold calling all day or hiring sub-advisors to go out there and bring 1,000 different people in front of them
sure.
and then steal their clients and cut them off. I want the advisors out there who actually believe and understand the markets and believe that putting clients in products and services that actually fit their needs. And while that may not be the highest revenue grossing business model, I think that it offers a lot of advisors out there the opportunity to do what they believe is right.
So you're allowing people to really utilize their expertise to help
exactly.
people,
and
as opposed to being a salesperson.
Do we offer insurance products? Yes. We bring in insurance experts for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we offer alternate investments? Yes. We bring in, we will sit with the client down and analyze their specific situation. And if there's, first we'll build their portfolio, and if there's holes in their portfolio, at that point we'll say, well, this income product may be suited for you, but we're not going to sell it to you. We're going to bring in somebody that we've vetted, that we know does this very well, and is not going to put you in something that they're only looking for a commission.
It's interesting. Well, how do you then, if you don't utilize the traditional sales methods, how do you find your people to help?
It's actually, it's more of an organic thing. You go out there, you meet people, you network, you maintain good relationships with people, and you just be honest. And I've found in life, if you just maintain your integrity mm-hmm. and stick to your principles, it may be a longer road, but that road's going to, build into something great down the future. So again, this is more of a life practice for advisors who want to do what they believe in mm-hmm. and not necessarily looking to go put, $100 million on a mass management in a year, which is pretty much impossible unless you call your every friend, family member, niece, nephew, try and
well,
tap
especially if you're just starting out.
Exactly.
So Jay, you've pretty much perfected this networking thing and bringing it together. How did you actually find Mark Anthony?
Wilmington is what I like to call a big, very small town. So there's quite a few people that live in and around this area, but in business circles and especially in our industry, it's small. And so mm-hmm. If you're out and about town, as you said, in any capacity, you run into some of the same people that are looking to promote themselves or whatever various entity they're involved in. So Mark and I kind of worked in some of the same circles we instantly, there was a business connection there and he mentioned principles. You can get to know somebody real quick just based upon the client base that they've had or some of the relationships that they've had. And,
sure.
and there was some alignment there right from the beginning. And it didn't take but, a few conversations to realize that we kind of were both from the same class, so to speak. So,
talking to the same people.
And I think it's important to know, too, it was friendship first.
Uh-huh.
And then the business discussion started.
Sure.
And I think that's a principle that both of us have is, we built a network in this town amongst friends, and we built mm-hmm. relationships. And these aren't relationships that you have paid networking events. These are things that we genuinely enjoy meeting and associating with people who have the same principles that we do, the same sense of humor, the same, the same vision towards life.
Sure.
And it's at that point, once you realize that it's someone that has the same principles as you do, is someone that you can go out and have a beer with.
Right.
That's when those business conversations really start to matriculate. And sometimes people force relationships with people who, may benefit them, but they don't really like. And that's when businesses really can kind of get mixed up. And next thing you know, you're a year into a relationship and you realize that, hey, wait a minute, we don't have the same vision.
Right.
Or we don't even like each other.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No.
And we're in the mid to early stages, so maybe we don't like each other. We'll find out later on.
I don't like you at all. I joke a lot, but truly, if you can't feel comfortable about somebody being at your kitchen table for Thanksgiving, chances are it's going to be tough to get any business done together. I don't think Mark and I necessarily were looking to have 50 new best friends,
yeah.
but what we want to do is be around a group of people that we're all interested in helping each other build our respective businesses, and maybe those relationships are mutually benefiting. But that, to his point, that's how it started.
Well, how do you do that? How do you work together? How do you combine your two businesses?
Well, that's still a work in progress. But really what we decided to talk about was, hey, this is what you do. This is what I do. I focus on financial planning, portfolio management, the actual selection of assets, ETFs. I don't sell mutual funds.
I'm sorry, go back. What's an ETF?
An ETF is exchange traded fund.
Thank you. Yeah. So in other words, if it's on the stock
they're
market.
The non-salesperson's version of a mutual fund. They're basically assets that track either an index or a USA or social media stocks or the oil industry. You can select these in a very low cost, but they cover the – so you can build a diversified portfolio without having the incentive of grabbing a commission or the internal costs that are associated with the mutual fund.
Hmm.
But like I said, with Jay, I know that a lot of my clients and my advisor's clients have needs for insurance. And there is an occasional need for an annuity-based product or an income gap or some of the things that he specializes in. So I'm not going to force myself or my advisors to go out there and push something that they don't really know much about.
Right.
We do know a lot about it, but we're not experts. We do know when the need is there, in which case we'll bring in someone like Jay or one of his agents who are highly trained and know the best suitable. It's basically like when you build a financial plan, there's blocks. And occasionally you need a block to go under a peg.
Right.
And we need people like Jay. And, you know, we also work with CPAs. We work with state attorneys. So we try not to be experts in everything. We maintain our focus in what we do. And that's where Jay comes in, because we have many clients that we'll meet with that we know they have this need, but we're not going to pitch a product to them that we don't understand.
Sure.
Because then you start to say, oh, which one am I going to pitch? Well, we're going with the best commission. No, we turned to experts, let them handle it, and then work hand in hand with the client from there.
Who's the ideal client?
Well, I think there's really two sides to my practice and to what it is that we're building with Legacy. There's two sides of it. We have our advisor client relationships, and then we also are recruiting advisors to work in our system. But the ideal client, the easy answer is it depends. we are not like a lot of financial planning practices or independent advisors that have sort of defined what their minimum client is. I think that that's a horrible mindset, at least today in my mind. There's a lot of people in middle America that are underserved as far as appropriate
Absolutely.
Financial planning
Huge
is concerned. So both myself and Mark, we don't look at a client or a household as, well, they don't have this amount of money in investable assets, because everybody's needs change over time. But
Right.
more importantly, you never know the power of an introduction until it's made. So if you handle some relationship appropriately, you never know who they're going to turn you on to. And you can either recruit the greatest advisor you ever worked with in the past to work with you on your team that way.
Yeah.
Or they could introduce you to somebody who is very affluent and might help to build your business that much quicker. So ideally, we'll talk to just about anybody that has an interest in either preserving or growing their particular financial situation.
How would somebody self-identify to say, I probably actually might need the services you guys are offering?
Well, there's a lot of people who need it that don't realize they need it. In fact, I just wrote an article yesterday about 401k rollovers. A lot of people approach retirement, especially with pension-related plans, people getting out of moving for one job. We're 3 years into the baby boom retirement. So there's going to be, I don't know the numbers precisely, but I think 80 million people retiring from the baby boom bust. Okay, that's a lot of people that are now retiring them for positions. There's been a lot of layoffs in the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have left their jobs.
Right.
The age range from 80 to 42 average 11 different jobs in their careers.
Wow.
So that's a lot of job changes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who are sitting on these pension plans or 401ks that think that, oh, that's, I already got it under management. That's fine.
Right.
Well, they don't realize that there's a lot of downfalls to keeping your money just sitting in a 401k. There's a lot of limitations as far as the investment products that are available. And also, the person who's running that 401k doesn't know you.
Right.
They don't know your specific investment
Right.
needs. So that's one example of someone who might not realize that they need a financial planner or someone who can sit down with them and say, hey, listen, you can roll your 401k into an IRA. We can put it into selected investments that are more appropriately suited for you. And by the way, save you a lot of money, because those 401ks carry a lot of costs.
Do they? I was going to ask how that's different, a 401k versus, like, I know I have a SEP IRA and all these different kinds of retirement funds sitting all over the place.
Well,
so
you're going to have to make an appointment. We're not talking about your situation over there.
I'm guessing maybe somebody else out there has my same SEP IRA.
We can sit you down
there
for a free consultation.
That's right, yeah.
Getting into the details of the specific plans is really, no one's – it takes a lot to understand the different types of accounts. So to sit here and talk for 5 minutes about what those are is really not really the point. The point is to sit down and have them know that, hey, I just need to sit down with someone, and if for no other reason, say, hey, maybe you should start an IRA. Maybe you should be putting that $5,500 a month into a savings plan. Or, hey, maybe maybe a Roth would be better for you. Just somebody to say,
somebody
hey,
who actually understands what all those things are.
Sure. A lot of people like to fix their own cars, but almost everybody goes to a mechanic.
Yeah. Sure.
You may not know there's something wrong with your car. So it's just sitting down with somebody whose genuine interest is what's in your best interest, and not, hey, what product can I push on you and what commissions can I get from you is something there. So I think everybody from people in their mid-20s starting out their careers
mm-hmm.
to moving from one job to another to people who are retired and think that that stable value fund is still giving that return that it used to.
Right.
You know, I talked to a lot of investors, oh, my stable value fund's been returning 4%. Like, no, it used to be returning 12%. Now it's returning, you know, 0.3%. So they just haven't looked at their portfolio in years. So if you haven't taken a look at your retirement portfolio or taken steps to plan a retirement, then that's someone that you need to pick up the phone and call someone you trust to actually speak to.
I think there's a couple of other considerations to consider. Number one, any financial advisor, financial representative, financial planner, insurance agent, anybody that's in this business, if they tell you that you know, they're more concerned about you and your health and safety and financial wellness over their own pockets, I would say that that's probably not them being completely transparent. Everybody that's in our business is trying to provide for themselves and their family just like anybody else. So,
sure.
You know, everybody that's in this business has a vested interest in their own income and careers. However, there's a right way to go about it, and you can build lifelong relationships where that income will come if, mm-hmm. if you treat people the right way. Number two, you have to really ask an advisor or an agent or somebody that potentially would work with you, do they belong to, and Mark alluded to this earlier, to a captive company? And what that means is that they're employed by one of the big name insurance or financial companies that are out there. And
these are usually associated with a bank.
Or an insurance
or
firm.
Or an insurance firm.
Or okay. an investment firm. A lot of the big investment firms are very similar.
What a lot of it, folks in our business, the professionals, and I'll use quotes, air quotes around that, in our business don't disclose is that they're incentivized to market their own products or services first.
Sure.
And I think that the general public doesn't really understand that. If you really want somebody to at least kind of have your best interest in mind, you're probably better suited to work with an independent agent or advisor that isn't incentivized one way or the other to work with a particular company. So that's important. If you can work with an independent agent or advisor, somebody that can look at all the different offerings in the marketplace and provide solutions in that manner.
If you're looking at all of the different options, mm-hmm. can it get complicated? I mean, most of us don't spend our lives thinking about our money all the time. We just don't. We have other things to think about.
It can be very overwhelming. And a lot of that comes with the fact that there's a lot of financial products on the market. And a lot of firms have this practice of keeping their clients in the dark or trying to overwhelm them to make it look like they're specialists and they're the only ones that know anything.
I see.
You know, investment retirement is actually quite simple. The selection of the appropriate assets to fill that plan mm-hmm. is something you should seek a professional out for, because there's risk, there's time horizon. You know, are dividends appropriate for you? You know, what are the downsides to this? Or maybe you shouldn't be invested in it all because you have liquidity needs.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it really just comes down to speaking with somebody that understands the market, isn't somebody else's associate advisor that's out there trying to, you know, collect as much data from you and then feeding it to the Megatron back in Corporateville.
Right, right.
Sitting with someone that understands the market, understands that there are certain investment needs for each portfolio, but actually knows what those things are. And building a foundation, this is why my company in particular, we focus on exchange-traded funds. First, because they're very simple, they're very liquid, they trade like stocks.
Okay.
They provide the diversification of a mutual fund or any other product out there. We start with that as a foundation, the building blocks. And then after those are selected, we discuss with the client, hey, what are your interests? Do you like overseas? Do you think this? And then we talk about the risk tolerances there. And really kind of keep it simple. KISS is all we preach, KISS. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, stupid. And then once that portfolio is built, that's when we say, okay, this is your core portfolio, but now you have these income needs, or maybe you have some real estate prospects that you want to get into. Okay, well, let's talk about the ways that we can most maximize that. We can bring in a tax accountant to say, hey, these are ways that you can maximize your tax efficiency.
So this is the team building thing.
This is the team building thing. And this is where I would rather work with somebody who knows their specific products and is expert in that field mm-hmm. rather than just pretend like I know everything.
Sure. Talk to me for a little while about entrepreneurs and how you can help people who are starting their own businesses when they don't have, you know, especially for those people who come out of maybe a major corporate environment and they had somebody in HR taking care of, oh, we'll match you on this and we have that for you and here's this kind of insurance for you. And then they go out on their own and they kind of stop thinking about it for a minute because they're so busy building a mm-hmm. business. how do you help small business owners think through what they actually need to do? Because obviously the first few years of a small business, you're putting all your money into your business, and that's where a lot of your investment is going. But then how do you remind them to get back into the market? How do you remind them what kinds of insurance needs they might have that would really positively impact them?
I think initial relationship and then constant follow-up is very important. And when I say initial relationship, I don't mean let's talk to an entrepreneur and try to gather their assets and stick them away someplace and make a sale. I think understanding what somebody's business model is, understanding if they are short on capital and things like that, if they've invested money from the corporate world into this new venture,
right.
There may not be a dime of investable assets for quite some time for an advisor.
There's like, usually not.
There usually isn't. And I understand that. Mark understands that. I think if you can plant the seeds and provide education, I'm a firm believer in givers gain. So if you're bringing education and knowledge to the table for them and being genuinely interested in their development within that particular business, but also reminding them of some of the considerations that they should be concerned with, taxes being one.
Sure.
And I'm not a tax professional and neither is Mark, but we have resources for that. So we are able to plug them in with our network, and that's really the power of this relationship. If we don't do it ourselves, we know somebody on a first name basis that does and has the same type of moral philosophy we do.
And it's actually a great question, especially for us, because we're both entrepreneurial spirited.
Yeah.
And I have almost an addiction to helping people start and maximize their business prospects. I'll be sitting out at a restaurant or a bar, and it drives my wife crazy sometimes, because when someone talks about a business idea they have, I wind up talking to them for an hour and say, maybe you should meet this guy, or maybe you should be doing this.
Right.
But when it comes down to the financial planning or how a financial professional can help this, I do a lot of business consulting myself, because your role as a financial consultant or an asset manager is not just to put them in specific investments. It's to help them retire.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the investment and retirement planning process is making as much money as you can. That ties into saving as much money as you can through taxes, incorporating a CPA. But also figuring out, let's figure out a way to make sure that you're making as much money as possible. The planning part comes in to say, I always tell them, set up an account. First step, I don't care if you don't have any money. I will meet with you and I will help you set up an account. Because if you have that account, then you'll know it's there and you'll be more apt to actually start putting money away. Even if it's $50 a month, there's no charge. We'll set up self-directed IRAs, or I have plenty of accounts where I don't charge really anything. Because it's just people who have, a $5,000 initial deposit, or they just set up an IRA or a SEP IRA if they're their own business, where they can put a lot more of their earned income into it. And just, put $50 a month into it, or put $5. It just makes sure that you're putting something into it, or you know that it's there, so that when you do start making money, you're not spending it out, or you're at least in the process. I landed a $40,000 contract this month. Maybe I should put some of that money into my SEP IRA. Or my traditional IRA or my Roth IRA. So I guess the first step really as a financial planner is to make sure that all your clients or your friends and family have the accounts set up.
Sure.
And that'll in turn lead to them putting money into it. And then, maybe 40 years down the road, they make some money and I make some money.
I think you solidify the relationship early on, whether you do any specific planning with somebody or not. I think if you try to introduce or tee them up to people who can help them in the short term, whether it makes you a dime today or it doesn't, they're going to remember you being part of the fabric in their business early on when they didn't make a dime.
Right.
And I think you're more apt to be able to work with that person when they're more financially successful down the road because of your efforts at the beginning.
Well, and you're building that trust, which is, I think, especially when people are dealing with their money, they got to learn to trust you. What kinds of tips and tricks might you have up your sleeves for helping people learn to trust you? I mean, hopefully people will be listening to this radio podcast or live and saying, hey, I should probably talk to somebody. But how do you get them to step two? Once they call you, how do you help build trust?
I don't have tips or tricks in that area. I think I can tell pretty early on if I'm going to be able to help somebody or not. I feel like I'm decent at being able to build rapport, but it's my personality. If it's not genuine and people don't get a good feeling from you initially, as you can imagine, financial information is just as, if not more so, sensitive than somebody's medical history.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Sharing that with somebody you hardly know is difficult. And I think if you show them from the beginning who you are and what you're about, and you bring education or that giver's gain philosophy from the beginning, you can develop a relationship pretty quick, yeah. And maybe they're more apt to share with you.
And mine's, I don't do active aggressive sales. So almost everybody that I sit down with is somebody that I've either met and had a drink with, mm-hmm. or was referred to by somebody, or just met at a networking event. And it kind of comes down to like Jay and I, when you ask how we started together, we started out with a friendship first to see if we like each other.
Sure.
And the first, 20 minutes of a conversation or so, when I sit down with a potential client, is you're just getting to know them. And if you ask what an ideal client is for me, it's somebody that I enjoy working with. I won't work with somebody that sits down there and is just snooty and arrogant.
We've had some experience with that, haven't we?
And some people are just miserable, yeah. and that's going to, you build
you
a business,
you
build
you
a business and
fun.
You say, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I be in 10 years? And the answer to that question isn't so much how much money do I want to be making? It's where do I want to be living? How do I want my lifestyle to be? Do I want to be working through lunch? Do I want to be working 90 hours? Do I want to be answering the phone, talking to clients that are a real pain in the butt? Do I want to be miserable all day because I got a nasty gram from somebody because the overall market went down 2% that day?
Right.
And for me, the answer is no. I want to have a life where I enjoy my clients. I'm working hard during market hours, and I'm making sure that my clients' best interests are in mind, but I'm not out there working 90 hours a day trying to make another $100,000
sure.
next year.
Yeah.
So the beginning of my conversations with clients, usually almost all my clients started out as either friends or acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
So that trust just builds organically.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of the culture that I'm trying to build for the firm, is people who aren't really out there trying to make, you have this cold-hearted blood, let's build an army of advisors and send them out there on a mission and get the name and number of every friend, family, and pet's name of everybody that you know. No, I like advisors that are out there that just genuinely like to do the advisory business and almost do it as a lifestyle business, so they can provide the best asset management to each individual. It doesn't have 1,100 clients. You have maybe 60, 70.
Yeah. Let's talk for just a minute about what is available out there. What's going on in the market? What are we looking at? What are we worried about? And then also help us, Jay, understand what's going on with different insurance things for individuals.
Great.
For the markets, perfect. I mean, I started out as a trader. So I know the markets. I've bought auctions. I was a lead trader for a while, where people were actually following my trades throughout the country. People were telling in every time I executed a trade. This is not something that's for long-term portfolios.
Right.
This is where most advisors that you talk to, if they hear somebody that knows about the stock markets or does any type of technical analysis, they instantly write them off as, no, that's just something I did for my own, personal accounts and helped other people understand it, because that is a viable hobby. And it is a viable way to make some money on the short term. But right now, the market is actually pushing up towards a lot of what we call resistance in the market. And
okay.
People don't understand these words, but keep it simple. Yeah. That just means we're reaching up to price points where people are getting nervous.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that the valuations for the overall market are overextended. That doesn't mean anything other than the fact that you have certain people that, large institutions that aren't willing to quite start spending a little bit more per stock. And that doesn't mean that we're making investment decisions tactically or on a daily basis based on that. It just means that we know that there's a lot of downside risk compared to upside risk. Would we want to be fully invested in risk, a downside normalized pullback? And normalizes, we could have an 80% pullback, and that doesn't mean there's a breakdown in the economy. That just means that's a normal pullback. As companies invest in equities and those equities go up, they have to rebalance their portfolios. And when they rebalance those portfolios, the market pulls back. And that's where the cyclical nature of the stock market goes.
So right now, where are we?
We're right at the top. We're actually at record highs. We've been touching the record highs for about 3 or 4 weeks. In fact, it's making a lot of traders happy because the market's been going up and down, up and down, up and down. And then, of course, the news is filled with a whole bunch of people who like to pretend they know why the market's going up. Basically, what the big name, Bloomberg, CNN, all these guys do is they wait and see what the market's doing, and then they try and plug this is why with certain economical factors,
yeah.
or what's going on in Russia, or what's going on in Croatia, or what Janet Yellen said today. The reality is, what I do with my clients is I take them and show them what the market's been doing over the last 5 years and show them that we're in a normalized upward trend. And I think that's the aha moment that most clients have is, a lot of advisors who don't know what they're doing just say, just invest in the market, Warren Buffett style, and dig your head in the sand and then, don't do anything. Well, why do you have an advisor if they're not going to do anything?
Well, so your recommendation for people who haven't taken a hard look at what they've got in their portfolio lately is to sit down with you and let's take a look at, you know.
Sit down with me or somebody who understands the market.
Yeah.
Not that.
So don't let it sit there.
Don't let it sit there.
Know what's going on.
Yeah, because the portfolio that was built for you 4 months ago may have
or
an increase.
Or four years ago. Yeah, exactly.
Or that mutual fund that you were sold may no longer be producing the results that it used to.
Right.
It is, you know, buy and hold.
So it's important to keep up with it.
Yeah, buy and hold comes into staying in the market long term. It doesn't come into staying in any asset for a long time.
Right.
And that's a misconception that people have.
Interesting. Okay, Jay, what do we need to know about what's going on?
On the insurance side of things, and when I say insurance, I don't mean your property and casualty insurance. We're talking about life insurance, long-term care, disability insurance, Medicare supplements for people who are aging into Medicare, and then annuities. Those products are all created and sponsored and maintained by insurance companies. So insurance, as most people know, is just managing risk in some form or fashion. Speaking to life insurance in particular, most people buy term insurance because it's the least expensive way to provide some financial protection for themselves or for a business. So, you know, that business hasn't changed a whole lot over the years. Term insurance is what it is. It's like renting a house. It's for a set term or period of time, and it's inexpensive. But there's a reason why insurance companies sell term insurance. It's because less than 2% of all term policies pay out. So people pay for a set period of time and they don't pass away typically.
Right.
So it's a peace of mind thing for the consumer, and it's important if they don't have sufficient assets to do anything but that.
Right. So what's the alternative?
The alternative, there's a number of different types of products out there. You have term, and then everything else is a permanent insurance product. And there's
whole
life is one type of permanent insurance. So here's I think another issue in this business, and this has been my experience for years. I've seen this a lot. Many insurance agents that have gotten into the business have gotten out quickly. And so most people have been approached by their brother-in-law or their uncle or their aunt or somebody that jumped into the insurance business, failed miserably, and jumped back out. And so, you know, there's an industry, I guess, standard, if you will, that about 90% of new insurance agents with certain companies wash out of the business very quickly. And what that does is it creates a perception that insurance people or representatives are bad because they're trying to push a particular product or service and they really don't care about the clients they're working with. And there is some truth to that. But what I will say is dealing with an insurance professional that understands all the different types of products that are out there and can offer up many different types of companies, many variations of products, and they're not tied to one firm is an important consideration when deciding to deal with a professional. The problem is that most consumers don't understand that. They get approached by somebody and they'd rather work with somebody than do the homework to figure out who they should work with.
Well, and you know, they probably are working with somebody that they trust for their car insurance or for whatever. And they generally have an umbrella sort of approach to insurance where you can buy any insurance you want from us, not just your car and boat, right?
Right.
But they're not necessarily thinking about the investment aspect or really the financial outpouring, if you will.
Yeah, well, and the problem is that these large insurance companies are very adept at marketing. So to say, well, just do a bundle and you'll save money on X, Y, and Z, and people in their mind think that they're buying something that's a good value, but in reality, they're not. So I think dealing with somebody who can provide multiple options is an important consideration. I said that already. But really having some knowledge base on what it is that you're buying and asking the appropriate questions. And that's where I come in on the insurance side of things,
right.
And that's where Mark comes in. We're gonna basically inform and educate the clients first before we ever talk about any solutions to help them to ask us the right questions. So we can assist them and we can understand more about their particular situation.
And you, one of the things that I just remembered to say when you say, you know, what can you do to help people who I'm not necessarily helping? One of the biggest things that I found when I was meeting with clients that had assets and were not happy with their advisors and especially with their insurance agents, or he says 90% of the people wash out. What they do is they bring on people and they have them get the name of every family member, every friend, and they have them tap that. I cannot tell you how many times I've met with people who were genuinely upset with their performance of their portfolio, the fact that they knew their financial advisor didn't know what they were talking about, the fact that their advisors wasn't giving them any attentions or just didn't know or wasn't taking any action for the upcoming volatility mm-hmm. or put them in an investment product that wasn't really suitable for them. And the answer almost always comes back, well, it's my wife's nephew, or it's my cousin, or it's my son's best friend.
Yeah.
And I would heed people. And I don't approach my family members aggressively.
Yeah.
In fact, I work with very few of my family members. But if you get approached by a family member in business, one of the first rules is don't do business with family.
Right,
so just
right.
be cautious if you have somebody that calls you from your family and says, "Hey, I am now a financial representative. Would you mind taking a look at these products? Because stick with professionals."
Well, it makes me wonder. I want to come back and. We've really sort of had this entire show about working with independents. It seems to me that that's really where we've really been talking. How, once you find an independent person to work with, to advise you, I mean, whether it's financial or insurance, how often do you think you need to meet with them? Do you think realistically every couple of years once you figure out what you need to do or...
I would say no. Each client may have a different, and they typically do have a different idea of what's enough contact.
Yeah.
I think where a lot of advisors or even insurance agents mess up is that they don't communicate with their clients enough.
Sure.
The agents and advisors out there that are more worried about the initial sale. Those folks get their hands on whatever assets or sales they can, mm-hmm. and then rarely communicate with the client again. And I think they miss out on a lot of opportunities just from a selfish standpoint, because people's lives change and there are many more opportunities from a planning perspective down the road. Some clients like to meet on a quarterly basis, mm-hmm. and I recommend once a quarter. That's a lot more proactive effort on my part as an advisor, but. Making those contacts, and that's where a relationship is developed. It'd be like trying to date somebody and saying, "I'll see you every 6 months," or "I'll see you once a year." Chances of that relationship lasting long term are very low.
And it goes back to the misconception of buy and hold or staying in the market.
Right.
It depends on the volatility of the stocks that you're in or the ETFs that you're in.
Or the volatility of your life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
anything changes in your life that's a pretty big change, you probably need to talk to somebody about your finances and your insurance at the same time.
I said before, we want lifestyle advisors, people who aren't out there trying to get 300 clients.
Right.
We want to keep it to a reasonable, manageable amount of clients. If that means that I speak to my clients that want to speak to me once a month or once a week.
Right.
I've had clients call me once a week. You know what? Everyone says, "Oh, I'm way too busy. I can't talk to my clients." Well, you know what? If you're way too busy to talk to your clients, then you've got too many clients.
That's right.
And if you have a younger client, and especially now where the old investment philosophies have been turned on their head, it used to be equities and bonds. Well, now bonds are moving the same way as equities and nothing's correlated. Everything's correlated. Everything's changed. The rules for investing and for suitable investments have changed over the last 5 years. We now have a Fed that's, for good or bad, whatever your opinion on it, has altered the way that the market moves.
Sure.
So you can't have old world advisors who just say, "Hey, you're in the right amount of equities, you're in the right amount of bonds, or you're in this or you're in that." You know, we have to be able to navigate the market, not tactically, not making decisions on a monthly or even daily basis, but monitoring the market for significant changes in the assets that we're in. So if I have clients in a specific asset, let's say overseas in Europe or in Russia, if I didn't meet with a client, if I went to the client 6 months ago and I had him in a Russian ETF, a Russian emerging market ETF or an emerging market ETF, and that emerging market, or if he's in Russia, things have significantly changed.
Oh, yep,
so that specific investment selection is no longer suitable for them.
Right.
So one is, really depends on how often you monitor. Me and my advisors monitor the market every single day for changes.
Okay.
And if there's a change that's needed, then we'll make those changes and contact the clients for it.
If you haven't met with your agent or advisor in 12 months or longer, and you haven't heard from that person, that's really no relationship. So you have to ask yourself, what type of value are you getting from working with that person? Whether they work for a captive insurance agency or financial services provider, or if they're independent.
Right.
Frequency of contact's important.
Okay. So we've woken everybody up to the fact that they need to keep revisiting this. If they don't know where they stand and they don't know what to do next, how would they get in touch with you guys? Jay, how do they contact you?
They can call me locally. That's the best way to reach me is the good old phone. Everybody loves email and websites and all of that, but I love talking to people on the telephone and love face-to-face meetings. So they can contact me at my local number here, which is 910-742-5507.
Excellent. And Mark Anthony?
They can contact me directly on my cell phone at 910-398-1708. And I'm available all week. I don't believe in, you know, having my assistant or one of my associate advisors answer the phone to make me look important. Or they can call the office at 910-541-3430. Or they can visit limitlessportfolios.com. A lot of the information on specific assets and investment options are on that website right there.
Great.
So they can educate themselves.
Well, I hope we whet everybody's appetite. This was a really great show. Thank you guys so very much.
Thank you.
Just let everybody know that we will not be on next week because we're opening the new Business Radio X studio in Raleigh next week. And you can hear us live on raleigh.businessradiox.com. And until 2 weeks from now, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Bridges to Business Radio.